We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
From Learfield, welcome to Flight Report, the latest news from EWU Athletics, spanning all sports, events, and key information. Fly with us. Now, here is your host, the voice of the Eagles, Larry Weir.
Welcome to Flight Report. It's where we talk about Eastern Washington University athletics. Each week, I'll talk to coaches, administrators, occasionally players, or even former players. And today, we have kind of a cast of normal characters as we'll talk to head football coach Aaron Best in an interview recorded after National Letter of Intent Signing Day breakfast that happened on Wednesday of this past week at Northern Quest Resort and Casino. We'll also talk to the director of athletics, Lynn Hickey, recorded on the same day as we get an update on the stadium situation and more talk about the Eagle Athletic Fund with Lynn Hickey as well in just a moment or two here. Some news from athletics, obviously, with football. The Eagles have seen a couple of assistant coach turnover since we last talked to you. Defensive coordinator Jeff Schmetting took a job as the co-special teams coordinator and outside linebackers coach at Boise State. And then cornerback coach and recruiting coordinator Cherokee Valeria took a job at Sacramento State. And so we'll talk to Aaron Best about what is happening as far as the hirings for those spots coming up in just a moment or two, and we'll get an update as well on winter conditioning and what the team is doing at this point in time. Men's and women's basketball teams both play tonight or today against Montana. The women tipping off at 2 this afternoon on Reeves Court. The men will tip at 6 Pacific time tonight at Montana. Eagle men had a 3-game winning streak snapped against Montana State on Thursday. They had a 10-point lead with roughly 10 minutes remaining. Still had a 2-point lead with about 2.5 minutes left and ended up falling at Montana State 74-66. Men are 5th right now in the Big Sky Conference standings, and that's an important spot to be because the top 5 teams get a bye in the first round of the conference tournament, which is coming to Boise on, well, in the middle of March for the men, and for the women, too. The women will start prior to the men beginning when they get down to Boise. So the women are trying to get to that number five spot right now. They're at 4-7 in conference play. They're down the standings a little bit. They definitely need a home win against Montana today. There is a special admission. If you're hearing this before 2 o'clock today, you can get a special admission, and I think it's $1 concession items on hot dogs and sodas and ice cream sandwiches, things like that. So go support the women if you're hearing this before 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. Let's get an update on what's happening with football. Talk a little bit about their class, their letter of intent signing class with Eaglehead football coach Aaron Best. All right, Coach Best, how would you best describe this entire recruiting class? Is there a something you were going after? Was length, speed, size, whatever?
Phil, few holes at all positions, a multi-sport, multi-coached recruiting class that presents a ton of length no matter what position we recruited.
Obviously, every coach in America likes their recruiting class. There has never been a coach that says that they don't like what they have, and so I know that you're not going to buck the trend. You like what you have.
We do, and I think it never goes exact. You know, that's the thing. If it went exact, then it wouldn't be as fun. So there are challenges along the way. There's dominoes that fell, dominoes that rose. There's a lot of things in between. This is not just a 2 or 3 month process. This is sometimes a 24, 26, 28 month process because some of these guys first, you know, were seen at a camp as sophomores or as juniors. And so this has been a long process. This day is the end to the next start of recruiting, you know, because now all of a sudden 2020 becomes upon us. And so at the end of the day, we're very happy. We're very pleased. The coaches did a fabulous job going out on the road, bringing in numbers at all positions, but really good people at all positions as well.
All right, so what happens now within the team? You guys, as a coaching staff, probably get a little bit of time off, but the players are hard at work, right?
They are. You know, we're in winter conditioning mode. We gave the players 2 weeks off post-national championship game. Physically, they just needed a break and a rest and a focus on school and only school. So after those 2 weeks, we ramped it up, and we've been in winter conditioning mode with our strength coach, Nate Berry, as far as lifting and conditioning when need be every day of the week. And we'll start our coach added winter ball, as we call it, at the end of the month. And so coaches will get some time off here. I'll be able to enjoy their families, hang with friends, do some things they haven't been able to do the last 5 months. And then we'll get back on the saddle here in about 2.5-3 weeks with the kids and coaches as far as winter ball is concerned. But these are the times, Larry, that develop championships. It's not August on, it is January on. And so we happen to play in January and we happen to lift in January. It was a unique situation, but the foundation of a championship caliber team is developed, cultivated, and manufactured starting in January.
Last year you guys wanted to add size during this time of the year. Is that what you're looking for again this year? Get some more guys bigger, especially interior lines?
You know, last year it was Massuary. That's what we called January. And this year I got even a bigger eye roll, and we've deemed this year Massuary. So it's a combination of both January and February. Yes, size is always something that's gonna be hard to put on, but even easier to take off. So we've gotta be able to maintain the mass that we gain. And I think we did a pretty good job looking at the charts Coach Berry presented at the end of the year as far as the graphs of weight as start, weight to end in the fall segment. We're blessed to have Nate Berry on campus training our student athletes. He is fabulous. And so he's done a lot of research, done a lot of data, and created a lot of plans for us to not only put on, but also maintain those weight gains that we will have as we head into August and then maintain them through the season. So, yes, mass is always something that's going to help us. We're just more sturdier when we're heavier.
All right, so a lot's been made of the Gage Guberud situation with trying to get an additional year, but you had a couple other guys that are going for additional years as well. Have you heard anything, without naming names, from the NCAA as to whether you're going to have a couple of guys back for next year?
Haven't heard anything yet. I believe they're still working on their files, though, Larry. So that's something that's not imminent, because we feel like talking to our counsel on campus that we've got a pretty good shot at the ones that we're going to file. And so we're in no hurry to hear back whether they can or can't. They're as if they're a senior again in terms of training with the team, in terms of attending classes, going to study table, and doing those things that the other teammates of theirs are doing. And so at this point, it's just a matter of finalizing the appeal to then send in the appeal to optimistically feel like the appeal is going to come back in their favor.
All right, so spring ball starts early April. It'll wrap up at the end of April. You guys have a loss of over 20 seniors this year. So young guys that redshirted last year, stepping into the breach, that's going to be a big spring for guys who sat out last year and some of the guys we saw for four games.
Well, I'll tell you, and even added to that is the 20-plus seniors we're going to have this year, I think it's 21 on my last count here, 20 or 21, that are going to be seniors this fall. A lot of those guys have played a lot of ball. I mean, Coach Buderak's got some guys, this will be their third or fourth year starting. So even more importantly, some of those guys we know can play are going to be reduced reps in spring for then even the guys that have never played to have even more reps than they normally would get. And so that's going to be exciting. Your team isn't what it's going to be in April. We know there's going to be some ups. We know there's going to be some downs and all arounds. And so if we can better ourselves from both sides of the ball, find a punter and a kicker. If you got eligibility, we'll try you out too in those two departments and get the battery of long snapping, kicking, and punting to where we need to go. It's not going to be where it needs to be in April, but get it to where we feel good going into fall. We got a pretty good chance heading into fall.
I'm going to disqualify myself from the kicker and putter equation, and I'll tell you a little story here.
Please.
So Sunday, I'm out walking around the neighborhood, and I live near a school, and so they have about a little over a quarter mile path around the school, and so I'm walking around that, and there's a soccer ball sitting at the corner of the thing, and I keep walking past that thing. I haven't kicked a soccer ball in years. And I keep walking past it as I'm doing laps around. And finally, after about the sixth or seventh lap around, I said, I'm going to kick that soccer ball because I hadn't done it in years. So I kicked the ball, and it went in the air. I thought it would just roll on the ground initially, but it went in the air probably, I don't know, 30 yards, maybe even a little bit more than that. But the problem I didn't consider is that it was wet, and I was not wearing proper footwear. And so I planted to kick that soccer ball, and my left leg went out from underneath me, and down I went on my back, kind of like Charlie Brown and Lucy pulling the football out from underneath him. But I had a successful kick. But I don't think I want to do that anymore.
No, but what I would say is I think you left out the elementary school because you didn't want me to get the footage from the cameras on campus. So therefore, I'm going to probably at this point, when we leave this conversation, reach out to every elementary school via email or phone call to grab that video from all day Sunday. I'll sift through it to find that clip. That's amazing, Larry.
Oh, geez. I didn't even think about cameras and so forth that might be out there on the school ground. 15 practices in spring. Obviously, an important time, but also an important time right now for you because you're trying to fill a couple of assistant coaches' positions. So where do we stand on that? Have you hired anybody? Is it in the hiring process? Where are we at?
You know, the positions that – or the gentleman that left us in the positions they had, great opportunities for him. You know, Jeff Schmetting to going to Boise State, it wasn't an easy choice, but you got to do it. I mean, it's Boise State and an opportunity to be Coach Special Teams outside linebackers coach and be reunited with Zach Hill. Secondly, Coach Valeria gets to – coach all four guys in the back end, you know, not just corners. Maybe take a break from the recruiting coordinator role that he was so awesome in. Some guys just need growth, change, different environment. And, you know, you can't blame them. You still got to love them. And so, and one, you get to play against them. Fifth game of the year, if I remember right. So it's a great opportunity for those two individuals. And with that, the hiring process, it is in the hiring process, waiting for the finality of the paperwork, the job posting, the so on and so forth. I think we did this about, you know, 730 days ago about this time, as far as you wanting to know who the staff was going to be when we first got the staff together that we did in 2017. And so we're back at that stage. So grab that footage from 2 years ago, and it's probably the same rigmarole of you got to go through certain hoops, and we're waiting for those hoops to be gotten through to be able to announce who those folks may be.
But you've gotten you've offered the position to two people, I'm guessing.
Through the HR process, the applicants will go through the application process, then we'll vet the applicants, and then we'll make the announcement.
All right, very good. Coach, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. Always good to see you on signing day.
I love you, Larry. Thank you so much. You do a great job, and we do appreciate you because you are an extension of us. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Coach. In other sports so far this week, we talked basketball already. Both the men's and women's indoor track and field teams went 2-2 at the Montana State Invitational Duels. They were going up against Idaho State, Montana, Montana State, and Weber State. Both the Eagle men and women defeated Montana and Idaho State and lost to Montana State and Weber State. Big Sky Conference indoor track and field meet will be back in Bozeman again in 2 weeks' time. Eagle women's tennis team defeats Montana State 5-2 in their first Big Sky Conference match, so they're 1-0 in conference play. Eagle men are 0-1 after losing a tough one to Sacramento State the first time around in their first conference meeting, and that was last week, I believe it was. And the women's golf team is getting ready to get started. They have not yet started their spring season, but they will be getting in action once we roll the calendar over into March. Their first, their first meeting or their first tournament is going to take place in February. It's actually in 2 weeks, February 23rd. They will be at the Grand Canyon Invitational in Phoenix, February 23rd and February 24th, and then they'll have another match in the Las Vegas area the week following that. So that's what's going on with other Eagle sports at this point in time. Now let's hear from Eastern's Director of Athletics, Lynn Hickey. Your 1 year anniversary is coming up here next week on the 12th of February?
Right. I came in as the interim AD on February 12th last year, and then got the permanent job April 25th. So yes, it's. I was thinking back. This time last year, I was in a panic trying to pack things and what do I bring from San Antonio to here? And I was leaving Bill in Texas and thinking, well, I'll do this for 2 or 3 months, and boom, I got here and my life changed. So it's been a lot of fun, and to be a part of a program that did so well last spring and then to be in a national championship run this fall, it's just been very, very blessed.
There have been a lot of successes, both on the floor and on the field and in the classroom for this program.
Right. Just a great tradition here of student-athletes being very responsible. I think first you look at coaches bringing in kids that can be successful at Eastern, and then the kids being responsible, and then the recognitions with the President's Cups and keeping the GPA at that mark has been outstanding. And football has had, you know, they have a long tradition of being competitive on a national level. Shantae and Wendy do a great job with the basketball program, and we need to continue to give them the resources and want to really, you know, our objective is to have a very broad-based, successful program. We want the tennis teams and the track team and the golf team and, you know, volleyball. We have a new volleyball coach to get everything going up so that across the board, every year we're in a contention for a Big Guys Championship. Realistically, if you can stay in the top three every year, and then every other year, every 2 years, you're making a run at the championship, that's what we're after. So a great base to build up from.
So having a great football season, as Eastern has had, is there an urgency to strike while the iron is hot a little bit? Not necessarily stadium expansion only, but just getting more resources into the program for student athlete success overall?
Yeah, I mean, this is, people are feeling really good about us right now. The president went to Olympia the week before last for meetings, and even in Olympia, we were still the hot topic. So while people are feeling positive and good and they see the value of the national recognition, this is when we need to step forward and ask. And so we've been working to get prepared to really show what our business plans are, show what our needs are, and go make those ask. I think what is difficult at times is that when you're as successful as this program has been with not having all the resources in place, people get complacent about giving. You know, well, they're fine. They went to the national championship. No, we're not. You know, the budget at North Dakota State is probably about $32 million, and we're at $18 million, you know. And so there were a lot of things that for us to sustain and to every year be back in contention for a championship run, we have to add some things. We have a deficit. We cannot ask the program, the university, to sustain us forever. We've got to start raising monies for scholarships and for the operations for a championship experience. We want all our kids to graduate and to win conference championships, and that takes resources to help that to happen.
Well, you talk about North Dakota State situation in 2016. Their coaching staff told our football coaching staff at the time what their nutritional budget was. And their budget for nutrition only for their football program was four times Eastern's entire strength and conditioning budget.
Right, right. We are way behind on some back of the house things. We were all excited. We got to announce yesterday in our all staff meeting that we now have chocolate milk in a refrigerator in the weight room for all sports. Until this week, we could only give it to the sports who had extra money in their budget and were paying for it. That's wrong. So the amount of food that it takes to keep these kids going is huge. And so it's things like we have one full-time academic advisor. It's amazing what we've done academically, but we need to add two or three staff. We have a football team who drove in three buses 8.5 hours to Montana State to play a game. We can't do that anymore and expect the team to stay healthy, for it to be safe, and for us to be very competitive at a high level.
And so that all starts with growing the EAF. What's the goal initially for growing the EAF?
Well, I think right now we have just around 1,000 EAF members. We want to get to 2,000, and eventually we want to get to 4,000. And what everybody needs to understand, we're not, you know, we know that it's not possible that everybody's going to give a $100,000 gift. But there's a lot of people that could give $50 a month, could give $100 a month, could get to that $1,000 a year level. We're putting an initiative forward right now where we're looking for a group of 25 people that could contribute either $5,000 or $10,000 a year for 5 years. We have a goal that we've told the university that we'll try to raise another $500,000 this year in the EAF fund. We need to raise $350,000 in major gifts. Last year, the EAF raised $300,000 total. So one of the things is educating our people that if you give to the EAF, you're giving to the total program to help build this championship experience. And a lot of times people are trying to single their gifts to a particular group or club or sport, which is, I mean, it's their money. They can put it where they want. But until we grow our scholarship fund, it's going to be very, very difficult for the university to continue to sustain this. We have a $5 million a year scholarship bill, and we're only raising $300,000 toward that. We've got to change that. If we could get to $1.2 million, be huge. The university's not going to step away. They're going to continue to support us, but we need to do our fair share.
And we need maybe those people that are giving to the EAF not only maybe to increase that gift by whatever they feel they can afford, but maybe recruit other people to join it.
If you could get 2,000, and this may be a little crazy, but if you could get 2,000 people to give $50 a month for 5 years, you raise $6 million. So it's not, you know, give up Starbucks, don't go to a movie. And I'm not trying to be sarcastic, but there are some really small things that we can do in great numbers and be successful. And then we've got to have some major gifts. We've got to have $1 million gift. We've got to have $5 million gift. We've got to find a naming right to put up. We've got to have naming rights on that stadium. You know, so when we're coming forward now with the stadium redesign, we've got to ask for both. It's great to, we have some infrastructure problems, but we also have to lay a foundation for our championship experience, which is our scholarship fund and our operations, for us to continue to do the things that we celebrated here today.
All right, so where do we stand now with the stadium remodel, and what can you tell us here today about where that process is going?
The architects are either supposed to be done with their first renderings the end of this week or the first of next week. And so what we'll need to do is look at that internally. This is a presidential review first, and then determine how we will move it out to the public to see, you know, these are the plans, these are the potential costs, you know, and then we're going to have to have a business plan on this is how the money is going to have to be raised. I think a lot of people still think, well, the university will just do it. The university can't do it. It's against state law. And people want bonds and that will just have debt service. Well, you also have to have a lot of money up front to even initiate anything like that. So I'm hoping within the next 2 or 3 weeks that we can be a little bit more public about it. But I think internally we're going to see everything by the first of the week.
Everybody needs to understand patience in this situation. This is something that could take a little bit of time.
Yeah, because you're talking about a group that the most money that we raised a year ago was $300,000, and you're going to jump into a $25 to $40 million campaign. It's going to take time. And so, but we also know the urgency, and we also really believe that people care and that they will answer the call. But we may have to do this one component at a time. But it's just too early to speak. I don't even know what the architects have come up with. So until we see that, it's going to be hard to tell people what next steps are. So we should know within the month exactly how we're going to go forward.
All right, so let's talk about some of the other sports, because we're seeing tremendous success right now with men's basketball. They are finally somewhat healthy. They lost Mason Peatling last weekend, but guys stepped into the breach, whether it was Kim Akin Jr. on Saturday and the Tanner Groves on Monday, but the men, they're on the road at Montana State Thursday, at Montana Saturday.
Yeah, huge weekend for them on the road. But, no, they've done very, very well. And we went through this last year. About the time I got here last year, they were really getting, they became a hot team. And so if we can go into the conference tournament in that top five, then we have a chance to really be a force in the tournament. And the your season, in our league, you got to win the postseason tournament to go to the NCAA. So to peak and get better at this time is great. We should have Mason back, and he's just such an important force in the middle. But our guard play, we've got everybody really stepping up. Kim has, to see the improvement from the first game of the year to what he's doing now has been outstanding. Ladies doing the same thing. Ladies keep getting better. They're young. They've had so many games that have been 2 points, right at the end of the game. And so they get a chance to come home. And so it's real important that they have a really strong homestand, that you protect that. And then, once again, they're going to have an opportunity in the conference tournament to be an upset group.
Have a chance for season sweeps against Montana State on Thursday and against Montana on Saturday.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. I'm learning that we don't like Montana. I'm starting to learn that. It was really fun. The athletic director at Montana was on the football committee, FCS committee, and so he was a site rep for one of our postseason games. We had a great team. He was a really good guy. But on the phone call at the NCAA the other day, we said we really appreciated Montana supporting us through the playoffs and that we're praying for them. But no, a great rivalry. So, but real important games for us to kind of hold our place in conference standings.
Tickets available. Go to GoEags.com. Click on the tickets link for women's basketball this weekend, then the men back at home next week. Big doubleheader on President's Day, Monday the 18th, Idaho women at 2, and then the men follow that.
Yeah, we've had fun with some of these doubleheaders, and especially on these vacation breaks. Just need people to come. I think if everybody will come and support the teams, it's a great family spot. The concessions are good. The Eagle Club now, if you're at that level, we're opening the Eagle Club for women's basketball as well as for men's basketball. Just a great environment to be in. And the kids play hard. They're good teams. It's fun to watch.
If people are interested in going to the Big Sky Basketball Tournament in Boise, you can go online to BigSkyInBoise.com. But does the university, are you on the hook for a certain amount of tickets, and should people purchase through the university if they want to go to this tournament?
Yes, each school has to buy so many tickets, so it would really help us if the first ticket purchasers would come to us first to see if we've depleted that supply. So we'd love to have a great people. You know, Reno was a little bit far. Boise's a little bit better location for our fans to be there. The women could start as early as Monday. We're hoping the guys are not on the floor until Thursday, but we'll just have to wait and see. We may not know until the week before the tournament. But yes, if you will go to our ticket site, Nicole will have the conference tournament tickets that we can sell.
Other sports going on right now, we're getting ready for the Big Sky Conference Indoor Track and Field Championships. Both the men and the women have been performing well this year.
Yeah, the guys last week at the indoor meet they were at, they won it. The ladies finished third. We've got all kinds of PRs going on every meet. So they've got one more indoor meet before they go to conference the next weekend. So they're doing really well. Tennis has started off well. The men's tennis team is better. We need to keep improving a little bit there with actually winning the match, but they're very competitive in the match. They're taking it to the end. Women's team is legit. The women may really have a chance to make a run in a championship. Women's golf had an unbelievable fall, winning several tournaments. So anxious to see what they do this spring. And once again, that may be a team that has a chance for a conference championship.
Well, happy one-year anniversary, Lynn. Thanks for the time. We're happy to have you here, and we hope for many more years.
Well, thank you, and let's go Eagles.
The Eagle men's basketball team will return home next week, Saturday, February 16th, against Northern Colorado. Then a doubleheader for the Eagle men's and women's basketball teams, as on President's Day, Monday, February 18th, they host the University of Idaho. The women start at 2. The men will begin at 4:15 or thereabouts. Tickets are available for all home games online right now at GoEags.com. Click on the tickets link. You can listen to the Flight Report podcast in many different ways. You can go to GoEags.com, click on Fan Zone, then on Flight Report with Larry Weir, and listen from there. Or if you're a regular podcast consumer, you can subscribe or just listen through most of the major podcast sites like iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, CastBox, Radio Public, Pocket Casts, and iHeartRadio. Thanks for listening to this week's Flight Report. I'm Larry Weir.
You've been listening to Flight Report, the latest news from EWU Athletics, spanning all sports, events, and key information. Fly with us. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.